Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Tux Lerzel.
And Stephanie Domingo.
We come to you from Bushwick, Brooklyn, where we record on land belonging to the Lenape Nation. A nation that is one of many, still very much out here doing its thing, and we would like to acknowledge that. This is the mini-sode today. We're doing the mini-thang.
Sure are.
We're drinking. We're swearing. We're drinking.
Drinking?
We're drinking.
Thank you.
The same frozen margaritas.
Let's be accurate.
Because I had to make a new batch so that I could take a photo.
The sacrifice.
So I had to make a whole
other
pitcher.
You absolutely did. It's true. It would have been against the law otherwise.
Yes.
So yeah, this mini is a continuation of last week's scandal where I talked about the assassination of Harvey Milk and the subsequent Twinkie defense. Mm,
they love it. I know at least some people have told you, Jen has told you that she misses the longer
episodes. Yeah, and I had a coworker who told me that she misses the long episodes as well. Hmm. She misses that we're not doing two episodes.
Yeah, each, or two stories per episode.
So we are picking up 6 months post horrible murders. So on May 21st, 1979, when White was convicted, air quotes, convicted, not of first degree murder, which the prosecutor asked for, but of voluntary manslaughter. This conviction was to the horror of most people, most reasonable people, excluding the SFPD, which raised over $100,000 for his defense. Yeah.
Blue wall of silence.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he apparently was a bad apple that they just kept and, you know, funded.
Yes.
So people outside of the police were really shook by the just mountains, like the gobs and gobs of evidence proving that, hey, this is clearly premeditated.
Yeah.
This is the stuff of first degree murders are made of.
And so, there's like so many witnesses to this. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my.
So when Dan received only 7 years due to his diminished capacity, people were really fucking pissed.
Yeah.
Really pissed. So before I jump into my story, I want to set the scene. I want to go back to 1975 when Governor George Moscone was first elected.
Okay.
So he hired a progressive chief of police, a man named Charles Gain. This man was extremely progressive, even for today's standards.
Wow.
He wanted to reduce the, this is his own words, the hostility between the SFPD and the gay and black communities.
Wow.
Yeah, in 1979, he's saying this. So needless to say, he was very unpopular with his new like employees.
Sure, yeah.
They were really, really pissed. He was seen as too lenient against their usual punching bags. Mm-hmm. So they were not happy. So not only was he trying to create a police force that was like a shade less racist and bigoted, he also made it illegal for officers to drink on the job.
It wasn't already?
Nope. And he had the audacity. That wasn't even the worst thing he did. He had the audacity, and I'm glad that you're seated for this, to paint the squad cars light blue.
Like, the horror.
Hashtag gay agenda.
Oh my God.
Wink. Yes. So he did all of this his first month of hire. So the police force, they kind of lost their mind. And there was all this press around, like, people were just so shocked that, like, the man in charge is like, not a bigoted homophobe.
Well,
they were confused. He became like this novelty. So he was asked, like, what would you do if one of your employees, a police officer, like, came out to you? Like, what would you do? He said, I certainly think that a gay policeman could be upfront about it under me. If I had a gay policeman who came out, I would support him 100%.
It's San Francisco.
I know. Like, this statement, like, sent shockwaves through the force.
Sure.
And around the country. Like, this made headlines.
Yeah.
National headlines.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so this remark made Mayor Moscone extremely unpopular because he was tied to Gaines.
Okay.
With the police. These two were so universally despised by the police that in 1977, rumors circulated about a right-wing police officer hit against Gaines. They wanted to assassinate him.
Yeah.
And a year later, similar plans formed targeting Mayor Moscone.
Yeah.
So after learning about this threat, the mayor hired extra security. Because he's like, oh, these police officers might fucking kill me.
Yeah.
So are you familiar with the White Knight riots?
No.
That's the subject of this mini.
Okay.
The gay community was not planning on taking this conviction, air quotes, conviction of his air quotes sentence lying down.
Yeah.
They were fucking pissed. When the news of the verdict broke on the night of May 21st, 1979, Cleve Jones, you know who Cleve Jones is?
Yes. Yeah.
He's the AIDS quilt guy. So he was a really good friend. He was really good friends with Harvey Milk. So he spoke to a crowd of about 500 people who had just gathered on Castor Street, mm-hmm. kind of in and around the area of Milk's photo store.
Okay.
So he decided that he's just going to organize a peaceful protest.
Okay.
He's like, there's 500 people here. Like, maybe we can get some more. But, like, this is an injustice that we're not going to just, like, take.
Sure.
We need to make our voices heard. So this is a quote from Cleve Jones. He said, "Today, Dan White was essentially patted on the back. He was convicted of manslaughter. What you get for a hit and run. We all know this violence has touched us all. It was not manslaughter. I was there that day at City Hall. I saw what the violence did. It was not manslaughter. It was murder."
Like, plain and simple.
Yeah. Like, he's not being hyperbolic at all. That was the truth of what happened. So he started shouting out of the bars into the streets.
Yeah.
And he led these 500 people, like, down Castor Street and, like, back up it. Mm-hmm. I think he was giving people time to, like, close their tabs. Like, we're fucking striking.
Yeah.
We're not striking. We're protesting.
Sure.
Finish your shit. Get an extra shot. Like, we're going.
Yeah, let's do this.
So
yeah.
By the time he, like, turned the corner and, like, got back to where he started, there was 1,500 people.
Wow.
Had grown from 500.
Yeah.
So he's like, let's check out City Hall. Let's see what they're doing. Like, clearly there's no justice happening. Let's bring them some no peace mm-hmm. as well. So they march down to City Hall. And by the time they get there, they're 5,000 strong.
Wow.
So these protesters, they shouted, they got to City Hall and they were shouting, kill Dan White and dump Diane, a reference to Diane Feinstein, who took over as mayor after Moscone was executed.
Okay.
So a handful of police officers on duty, they were at the scene and they were kind of confused by all of these, like, angry gay people shouting at them. They were outnumbered. They didn't really know how to act. They had never dealt with, like, kind of like a mob of, like, angry gay people before.
Yeah.
Usually it's like, you know, they're picking them off one by one and they're, you know, they're surrounding them. So these protesters, they were rightfully angry. They were convinced that the police, together with the prosecution, like, colluded to, I mean, they were trying to make sense of this fucking verdict.
Yeah.
Like, I get why they felt how they did. So as the crowd grew and it kept growing, the anger grew. So I feel like this is a good time for a little break. See.
All right, let's get some more marg.
Marg.
Well, hello there. Do you wish your high school history course had more drinking, more swearing, and more ladies?
Well, do we have the show for you? Her Story on the Rocks is a long-form podcast talking about good women, bad women, fictional women, and non-fictional women from all times and places. Basically, each week we pair two women who we research with a themed signature cocktail. You won't be sorry you listened to our latest episode.
Available everywhere you listen to podcasts.
Cheers! Cheers!
So we are back. We have some extra margs.
Frozen margs.
So the crowd, they're starting to get really rowdy. Members tore ornamental work from the building's wrought iron doors and then used it to break the first floor windows of City Hall.
I mean, we can't, unless it's the police doing this, we can't have this.
Right? See, it's a problem if it's not law enforcement doing the damage. So several of Milk's friends, they attempted to hold back the crowd, including Milk's long-term partner, because they were just like, okay, this shit is, like, you know, this is justified anger, but, like, we're doing a lot to City Hall, and, like, this is, we're doing crime in the open.
Yeah. Like this isn't what we planned for this to be. And
no.
Yeah. It's gonna make the community look bad.
Exactly. So a formation of police appeared on the north side of the Civic Center, like in the area of the city hall. And when these friends of Milk see the police, they're like, okay, there's like reinforcements. Like they're going to get this crowd under control. They're going to de-escalate.
Oh, y'all can't see my face, but it's just that like cringe emoji with the big teeth.
With the teeth. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's not what happened. I don't know the story, but I know that that's not what happened.
You know how the police act.
Yeah.
And de-escalation is not their strong suit. The police chief Gaines, he's inside of City Hall just kind of holding his position. He just wants to make sure that like no one's going to get into the building and like do anything like outrageous. So he tells the officers like not to attack the protesters.
Wow.
Simply just to, you know, stand your ground, get things under control, mm-hmm. restore order, I roll. But like, I get it. Things are getting out of hand.
Yeah.
But the cops being themselves, they couldn't help themselves. Instead of holding back the crowds per their commanding officer, they decide to start beating people with nightsticks. Mm-hmm. Many of them had arrived there with tape over their badges, you know, protecting and serving. As you do. Yeah. So as not to be identified. But the crowd fought back.
Uh-huh.
And they were shocked by this. Yeah. This was like San Francisco's Stonewall moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one young hero, he kicked in the window of a police car and lit the upholstery on fire and let that shit burn.
Yeah.
It exploded. And he did that to a dozen more cars.
Amazing.
And like eight other just vehicles that were on the street.
I mean, at that point, like the police have showed up and started beating people for no reason. After being told not to.
Yes. By the head of their organization. Like, this is your boss's 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 boss. Like, yeah. And you're just like, no.
I'm a policeman. I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah. Fun fact. Do you know anything about the Dead Kennedys? Like that like punk band?
Yeah. I mean, I know of them. I don't know anything about
Jason
them.
Jason really liked them. But their 1980 album, it's called Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables. It uses a photo from that night of burning cop cars. Yeah.
Never mentioning that the queers lit the car on fire.
Never mentioning that. But I think this band was it was like they're from San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know if any of them were queer, but maybe. I don't know.
Punks don't care about that.
You know, exactly.
They're just anti-authority.
Yes. They were just happy to see cars burn.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
So the riot really starts to break out now. People are stopping traffic. Trolleys were also stopped because people just like pulled down the cables.
Oh, wow. Holy shit.
Overhead wires were just like pulled down.
How do you even get to? They're not.
I haven't even gotten to the crazy part. So it was just chaos. And the police were surprised at the resistance that they faced from this really angry, justifiably angry crowd. They were pushing back using like whatever they can get their hands on, like tree branches. Like people were tearing chrome off city buses.
Holy shit.
There are reports that multiple people ripped asphalt from the street to use as weapons. I'm like, is He-Man in San Francisco in the late 70s? Like, you're ripping up the street and beating the cops with
it? Like muscle bears juicing on steroids.
I mean, how do you even attempt to rip the street?
Seriously.
Like,
do you have gloves?
Your
poor hands.
Right? I'm just reading reports that said people ripped the street. I'm just like, I need more details about how they brought tools with them. Like,
maybe there was like a pothole and there was like a piece that was loose that they could get their hands under.
Oh, maybe.
That's the only thing. Yeah, it's still, that's a lot.
I know. They were using what they had on hand. As one man, the guy who was setting fire to all the cop cars, a hero.
Literally a
patriot.
A hero.
As he set fire to the last of the cars before he was arrested, he shouted to a reporter, "Make sure you put in the paper that I ate too many Twinkies."
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God.
A hero. Right? Name some schools after him.
Oh my God. Do we know this man's name?
We don't know his name. Yeah. Other than that he gave that to the press and then was subsequently arrested.
Yeah.
Wow. So Mayor Feinstein and Supervisor Carol Ruth Silver, she was the one who Dan White also wanted to kill.
Yeah,
okay. The Jewish freedom writer. They try to address some of these demonstrators because they're like things are getting out of hand. Like,
yeah.
This is bad. They're trying to communicate the fact that they too lost two people,
sure,
and like,
yeah,
they felt the same way.
Yeah.
But the crowd was really pissed, and someone actually hit Silver with a rock.
Oof,
yeah.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah. So the second stage of the violence was the police raid hours later. Okay. So the police, they restored calm to City Hall. The SFPD decided that they were going downtown. They were going to go to Castor Street and just like crack skulls, basically. So cars carrying dozens of officers headed to the Castro district to, you know, protect and serve.
Yeah.
As they do. So officers, they entered a gay bar called the Elephant Walk, despite their orders not to do so, because people on the street were just like, fuck out of here. Like, where are you going?
Yeah.
You don't need to, you don't belong in this bar. Like, what? Nothing's happening. There's no one called for you.
And like, how do you know that the people in this bar were there in the first place?
They just knew that it was a gay bar.
Yeah.
So they go in and they start being shitty. They are shouting awful things I'm not going to say. Mm-hmm. They shattered a large plate glass window of the bar. They attacked patrons just sitting there minding their business, drinking margaritas.
Like, just some light property damage.
Yeah.
Done by the city government.
Yep. After 15 minutes, the police, they're like, okay, we've done too much. Like, we need to get out of here because, like, this is, they did it.
Look what you made me do.
Yes. Twinkies.
Yeah.
So they go outside the bar. They're like, okay, this is bad. Like, there's too many eyes on us. Like, but when they went outside, they saw that there were other officers outside just like indiscriminately beating gay people, sure, on the street. Yeah. So they're like, oh, let's just do this now.
Yeah.
Terrible times.
Yeah.
The worst of times. It was not the blurst of times. Don't you dare. It was the best of times. It was the blurst of times.
You stupid monkeys.
Yeah, so they go out and they see that like all their homies are out there just hurting gay people for no reason. So they decide like, oh, we're going to join in too. So finally word gets back to Police Chief Gaines.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, what the fuck is happening? They're doing what? They're where? What? Elephant Walk? What? So yeah,
I told you to cool it. Like,
he goes there. Not just telling them like, hey, you guys, knock it the fuck off. He goes down to the Elephant Walk and like pulls them out. Yeah, he orders everyone to leave. Later that night, there was a freelance reporter named Michael Weiss. He saw a group of police officers celebrating in a bar downtown. And this is a quote from one of them. We were at City Hall the day the killings happened, and we were smiling then.
Jesus Christ.
We were there tonight, and we're still smiling.
Uh-huh.
So when the dust settled that night, over 140 protesters and 60 officers were injured. Dozens of arrests were made. There was some inquiry into how the whole Elephant Walk thing happened.
Yeah.
Because there was an inquiry into that, and also the fact that they didn't just stand their ground. They just started openly beating gay people at City Hall, but there was nothing really came of it. Inconclusive. Yeah. Blue wall.
Not
blue,
shocking.
Blue wall of silence. But, you know, they have to go through the motions, I guess.
At least there's someone at the top that's like wants things to be better.
He's one man.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And he just got there. So, and no one respects him because their cars are pale blue.
The horror.
It's like your masculinity is that fragile that you can't be in a powder blue car.
Why do you think they're police officers in the first place? Because their masculinity is so fragile.
You're right. It's really, really sad. Yeah, this whole thing. But so Supervisor Harry Britt, he's the guy who was elected after Harvey Milk was assassinated. He was also a gay man. So he brought together gay leaders in the community the day after the White Night riots is what they're called happen. He made it crystal clear to all the gay people in their gathering that no one was to apologize.
Yeah.
We're not sorry for this.
Yeah, yeah.
We did what we did, and there's a reason why
we
did it. So he told the press, Harvey Milk's people do not have anything to apologize for. now the society is going to have to deal with us, not as nice little fairies who have hairdressing salons, no shade to Russell, but as people capable of violence. We're not going to put up with Dan Whites anymore.
Yeah. I mean, this was at a time in a history when, like, there was a lot to be angry about.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that like, the people that organized it and started this whole march to City Hall, this was not their original intention.
Absolutely not.
But hell no, there's nothing to apologize for. No, we are fucking sick of it.
Yeah, they're pushing for equality, for rights, for justice.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're just like, no one is apologizing. So reporters, they were so surprised to hear a public official condoning the violence that they tried to just find random gay people to say something negative about what happened, and they couldn't find anyone.
Amazing. I love that.
So they didn't have like a nice little like sound bite for the news that night. So that evening on May 22nd, that night would have been Milk's 49th birthday. Mm. They had a demonstration plan. They already had the permits and everything. The city was thinking about canceling it.
Sure.
But then they feared violence.
Yeah.
Rightful.
Yeah, yeah. They would have.
Justifiable violence. So the city decided to let them go ahead with their the event that they had planned long in the future. So police from San Francisco and its neighboring towns were placed on alert by Mayor Feinstein. Approximately 20,000 people gathered on Castro Street and Market Streets. And the mood was kind of angry, obviously, but it was subdued. People were like, okay, we don't need to rip up the ground and throw it at people tonight. This is a celebration of Harvey.
Yeah.
We don't want to do that tonight. So there was no violence. Officers monitored from a distance. Thankfully, they weren't actually at the event, which I think that helped. Since they don't know how to de-escalate shit. So it was a peaceful celebration of Milk's life. People danced to disco. There was drinking in the street. There was a tribute song to Harvey Milk sang on October 14th of that year. Between 75 and 125,000 people marched on Washington for gay rights.
Wow.
Many people carried pictures of Harvey and signs with quotes honoring his legacy. The rally was something that Milk had wanted to organize himself.
Okay.
But it ended up being a tribute to his life.
Sure.
The end.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
So that's the White Knight riots. It's an event that I didn't know about until I researched this scandal. And I listened to a podcast called Maintenance Phase. Are you familiar with it?
No.
They talk about diet culture.
Okay.
So they did an episode on the Twinkie defense.
I see.
And one of the hosts is a gay man. And he's like, no gay man under 40 knows what the White Knight riots are. Yeah. And I'm like, maybe Tux knows, but now you do.
I had heard of it, forgotten what it was. Yeah. There's a lot of that.
Yeah. But also this is like important to tell this story, and especially to tell gay stories just outside of like
June. Yeah, it's not just Pride Month stuff.
Yeah. It's important now more than ever, especially with like things in Florida happening.
What's happening in Texas, what's happening in Florida. The Florida stuff is especially upsetting because because of Disney.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the CEO of Disney and like he was getting all this blowback from the gay
community? He moved his whole he's moving his whole operation to the creative teams. I think I told you.
To Florida.
I
did not know that. Well, Disney basically like helped at least to fund the Don't Say Gay bill.
No.
Yes. And when he got blowback against it, he like doubled down and was like, I don't have anything to apologize for. And then after it passed, went back and was like, oh, I'm so sorry. My bad, gay people. Like, we'll do better next time. Sorry.
Wow.
Like, didn't refuse to apologize, refuse to have anything to say about it until it was passed.
And like all the gays that ride for fucking Disney.
I know. Like, there's actually a petition going around.
That's terrible. I did not know that.
Disney shouldn't be allowed to have pride floats and all this
they
stuff.
They shouldn't.
Yeah.
They shouldn't.
Yeah. And then if yeah, the gay employees of Disney
pride
can,
merch either.
Exactly.
Yeah. All of the gay people I work with at Disney are finding other employment.
Yeah.
They have until 2023.
I feel like people that move to Florida tend to, especially people that move there like for the weather, are people from the East Coast who don't know what good weather is actually like.
Yeah.
Because the weather in Florida compared to the weather in Los Angeles is garbage.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you for telling that story. I think people need to know. I mean, obviously, this isn't June. This isn't Pride Month. But no. I think that people need to know that there's a lot more that happened throughout the struggle than just Stonewall.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like Stonewall and then AIDS. You know what I mean? But that's like how things kind
Definitely.
Of look.
Yeah.
Especially for young people that don't know their gay history.
That's so upsetting. Yeah. It's ongoing. Like, the struggle for equality happened way before Stonewall.
Yeah.
It was just one event that marked that long
absolutely.
Struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. Before it was called the gay rights, it was called the homophile movement. That's like we talked about.
Like the Mattachine Society. Yeah.
Frank Kameny, all of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really, that was thoroughly enjoyable. I kind of wish that I had been there that night.
Right?
You know?
To see people ripping up the ground.
Yeah. And lighting police, light blue police cars on fire.
Oh, my God. I just love how upset they were at a color change.
I mean,
from dark blue to light blue? Are you guys really going to lose your minds for this? Oh, you are. Okay, cool, cool, cool.
It's emasculating.
Cool, cool, cool. Like, are you that thin? Is your masculinity that thin that you can't be in a light-colored vehicle?
Literally.
Your dick's going to fall off?
I mean, they might have to storm to City Hall and kill people over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have clearly had too many margaritas and I could...
Too many.
I need to shut my mouth. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, no, this was a fun story to do.
My marg is long gone. I'm going to call it a marge.
Ooh, I prefer a marge,
a frozen marge. My marge had done been empty, but Stephanie's got a little bit to go.
I'm still going. I was flapping, doing the flapping of the gums.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Tux Lurzel.
Stephanie Domingo.
Signing off.
Sayonara, bitches.
Thank you to Tim Clough.
What? Who is that?
I don't know.
Damn you, tequila. Tequila makes me an asshole. Who knew?
This was our first ever tequila cocktail.
We went off the fucking rails.
Both times we've drunk tequila, it went off the rails.
Okay, there's a pattern of behavior. And it's not just me. It's both of us.
We've discovered what went wrong. thank you to Tim Clough, our editor, sound engineer, and podfather. We literally could not do this without him.
Bye. Bye.
Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn, on land belonging to the Lenape Nation. Please note that we are not historians. We're just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. A full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. And remember that written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media, and make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves, and we have exclusive content on Patreon where you can directly support the production of our show.